Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Last week, the Northern Ireland Assembly passed a motion supporting a ban on so-called gay conversion therapy in all its forms. As the debate on the issue took place, several politicians emerged to share their stories of coming out and the discrimination faced by LGBTQ people in the North. Well, among them was Pete Byrne, an SDLP councillor from South Armagh, who's also his party's climate spokesperson. And Councillor Byrne joins me on the line now from his home in Cross Madeleine. Good morning, Pete.
Morning, Miriam.
Listen, first of all, for my listeners, what is gay conversion therapy and why was it important that this debate happened, culminating, I suppose, in the vote in the Assembly?
Well, conversion therapy, I suppose, in all its forms, whether it's physical or whether it's through a talking therapy, is an act or an activity that tries to suppress or change your sexual orientation or your gender identity. And I suppose the significance of the debate in Northern Ireland is, you know, Northern Ireland has been lagging behind in terms of rights and equality for the LGBTQ plus community for decades. I mean, you only have to look back to the marriage equality vote that went through five times in the Assembly before it was legislated when the Assembly was down. So to have this ban, the debate on the ban to come to Northern Ireland, and effectively Northern Ireland could be the first place to enforce a ban on conversion therapy, shows how far we've come. I mean, if you go back to the marriage equality vote in 2015, it passed by one vote. You know, this, and I know it's not binding because it has to get through the Department for Communities, but they passed by 35 votes and have the overwhelming support of many parties, all parties, maybe bar one in the Assembly, shows how far we have come. Yeah. And we shouldn't have to, you know, the LGBT community shouldn't have to rely on Westminster. We shouldn't have to rely on the courts. We should have the confidence in the government here to be able to legislate so that people in my community feel that we are equal, part of this society. So I think the debate itself on Tuesday, I listened to the debate while I was at work. I listened to every word of it on streamed it on my phone. And parts of it I found very, very difficult. I found that the debate was largely respectful at the start, but, you know, some of the comments, it just feels like, as an LGBT person, it feels like you're on trial, effectively, to have your lifestyle debated and discussed time and time again in Northern Ireland. So, you know, I'm glad it passed with 59 votes, and we need to move. We need to move to legislate before the end of this term.
And I know, Pete, like changing the law, having respectful debates, you know, they help change the landscape, especially for young people or those who fear coming out. What was it like for you growing up gay?
Beyond difficult. Really, really difficult. I live, as you said at the start, in Cross Madeleine, a small border town. Everybody knows everybody. A business in the town, working a family business, involved with the football club, the soccer club in the town. And I suppose everybody's sort of set in their ways, and when you're looking around, you know, growing up as gay, you don't see the support around, you don't see anybody else like you. You see most people sort of growing up from the LGBT community had moved out of Cross Midland, so you're sort of looking around for some support, and it's not there. So I met my now husband in 2006, in July in 2006, and within weeks after that, I thought, I can't do this. And I booked a one-way flight to Australia, and I went to Australia on my own in October 2006 and was there for 15 months. I literally couldn't face it. And I think it's sort of travelling and meeting different people and getting out of that wee bubble of a rural community sort of opened my mind a bit. I'm a quite private person. You wouldn't think that, maybe, that I'm in public life now, but I sort of keep my life to myself. I never really was outspoken. I never talked about LGBT issues or whatever. But when I came back to Cross Madeleine 15 months later, I moved into an apartment with my now husband. And I suppose people thought that we were just friends. I didn't actually tell people. You can count on one hand the amount of people that I actually came out to. People think that this coming out is, you know, you sit people down and you tell absolutely everybody. I told four people. Everybody else sort of I let find out because I physically couldn't do it, you know, to sit down and actually have that discussion. So I told one person in my family and then everybody else sort of found out. So, yeah, we moved in together when I came back, and I sort of started to try and build a life. And every time I would make a decision, you know, for example, when I got engaged, I felt, how far can I live my life without hurting others? You know, I had the comments whenever I got engaged 2 years later. I had the comments that you're pushing it too far now. You know, people have accepted that you're living together. Stop rubbing people's nose in it. You know, you're pushing it too far. So that sort of knocked my confidence and put me back. So when I became an elected rep, I felt that I had to start speaking out. It was deeply uncomfortable, really uncomfortable to speak out. And I think I became a councillor in 2016, and I went to my first Pride in 2016, that summer. I became a councillor in January. And that was the first Pride that I had walked in. It might seem like a very simple thing for people. It is really, really difficult. And I spoke at an event for my party in August in 2016. And I'm sitting on a panel with Lira McKee. It was just the two of us on the panel. And it was speaking about what equality means to you. And I remember how bloody, it was the first time I ever spoke about my life personally. And I remember feeling sick with nerves. And I turned to Lira and I asked her, you know, what was she saying? Because I wanted comfort. You know, you feel as if you're talking to the audience and you feel as if you have all the information on LGBTQ issues, and you don't. And I felt nervous. I felt unqualified to talk. And she said, just be yourself. People want to hear your story. Through yourself, and you'll feel all the better for it. And afterwards, she was right, because afterwards I did. But I felt, a part of me feels angry as well, that I have to speak out in this. I have to open the doors in my private life. But as the only out gay councillor in our council, I feel when these issues come up that I have to speak. So this week, when I spoke on the conversion therapy issue and how I struggled mentally growing up, I found it very, very uncomfortable. But I know it needs to be said. I know it needs, my story needs to be out there, because it will help people. Because growing up, I didn't have that help.
Tell me about your brother trying to get your husband. Tell me that story.
Well, we got married civilly partnered in 2012. So it was just, actually, I was just thinking about it since I said the story this week, but we got married in Spain. And like most people, you sort of go away to get married because it sort of gives that, it gives that reason if family members don't go, that it was foreign holiday, and you know they couldn't afford to go over or whatever. So it's a bit of a armour by getting married overseas. But we got married in September 2012, and before we flew out to Spain, we went to the town hall in Newry, and I only had two witnesses, because you have to have two witnesses. It was me and my husband and my two sisters-in-law, who were both heavily pregnant and were due within 8 weeks. Now, one of them was my youngest brother's wife. So because they couldn't travel to Spain, I took them to Newry Town Hall, and it was just the four of us. Six of us, actually, because the two kids were there. So that, my youngest brother, Tony, his wife, their first child, Tony asked Trevor, my husband, to be godfather to the child. And we got back, that was December, 3 months later. And I was sort of on a hay in the sense that I had just got married. I felt a level of acceptance that I didn't feel before. And then we don't, as a family, talk about these things. I've never sat down with my brothers and talked about my relationship. Yes, they were at my wedding, but I didn't talk about the relationship. So the youngest brother coming to me and saying, I want Trevor to be the godfather, was a huge sense of validation for me. Mm-hmm. It's a huge sense of acceptance. And I was really overwhelmed by it, because he has a load of friends. We have four brothers, and it's his first child. But that only lasted. That only lasted a day, because when he put the form in to the parish here, the priest said that he couldn't accept it. He couldn't accept Trevor's name on the form because he lives a life of sin. And my younger brother argued and said that he wasn't changing it, but then he had to come back and say it to me. And at first I was angry. He was very angry. I thought, why are we being made an example of? You know, there's no vetting for anybody else, and why can't he be godfather to the first child? So it ended up then that sort of, after a while, after a few hours, I asked him to pick somebody else. I said, just pick somebody else. And the reason why, Miriam, I asked him to pick somebody else is I didn't want the level of public shaming of it. I didn't want to be the story again. You know, in a small rural town, you're constantly the story when you get engaged, when you get married, when you get turned down by the church for being godfather or whatever. So I said, please just pick somebody else. And I respect that you came to us first and you asked Trevor, and that will always be the case. But he refused. He dug his heels in and he moved parish. He moved to a parish just across the border, because we're just right on the border here, to Inniskeen, County Monaghan. And Trevor is godfather to the child, that child that was present, you know, at our wedding in the town hall. So I had a conversation with the priest, many conversations with the priest, because I know the priest personally. Everybody knows everybody in a small village, mm-hmm. Personally. And I asked why, and I felt angry, and I sort of threw up a few things, like, you know, some people say, well, how come right across the Catholic Church, you know, there seems to be, in my opinion, priests that would be identified as LGBT or of, you know, same-sex attraction or whatever. And he said to me that that's true, but we believe that you're born into sin. Mm. You're a sinner. You were given an itch, and you can't scratch it. You've pretty much gave your life to God, be celibate, and you went ahead and scratched yours. So there's the difference. And that really, really... I thought I could fob it off, Miriam. And I says, listen, you can have your opinion and I'll have mine, and I'll go on about my life. But as I said this week, you know, that night, that week was my first time I had a panic attack at night. And something that a feeling I've never had before, waking in my sleep screaming, couldn't breathe, genuinely thought that I was going to die, and then being comforted by my husband. And that spiraled to 5 or 6 a week for months, to the point that I slept in the spare room a number of nights just so that he could get a night's sleep, you know. Mm. And mentally, it's all building up in your head. And because we have a culture of probably not speaking about our feelings in this country, you let it build up and you think you're dealing with it. So I effectively keep myself busy so I don't think, that I don't have thinking time and I don't go through these things in my head. But obviously when I'm resting at night, it's going through my head and it's having a massive effect.
Well, look, Pete, I really appreciate you chatting to me this morning. Very quickly, one texter just speaks a lot about you, says, this is Radio Gold, a wonderful interview with your guest just now. The very notion of conversion therapy is preposterous. Saying the best of luck to you and your husband. And I support that so much, Pete. Mind yourself. Best of luck to yourself and Trevor. Hopefully we will get to talk again.